Chris Miles was able to retire twice by the time he was 39 years old. But he's not content to just enjoy his own financial freedom and peace of mind. Chris wants you to have your own ripple effect so you can live free today. He's not the financial advisor you expected. He's the anti-financial advisor you deserve. He's jumping behind the mic right now, ready to make waves. Here's Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Guys, thank you for joining our show. That's for you, and it's about you. Those of you that work so hard for your money, and you're ready for your money to start working harder for you now. You want that freedom. You want that cash flow, that prosperity today. You don't want it 30 or 40 years from now. You want it today and now. So you live that life that you love, doing what you love with those that you love. But more importantly, guys, it's about living a life of freedom, of purpose and meaning, and creating a ripple effect through the lives of others. And guys, I appreciate you so much for allowing me to do that with you. Man, I love the fact that you guys keep reaching out saying you're binging, you guys are, you know, sharing and growing your community and creating powerful conversations. And that is exactly what it takes for you guys to take it to the next level. So thank you so much. Quick reminder, check out our website, moneyripples.com. There's that great little ebook, Beyond Rice and Beans, 7 Secrets to Free Up Cash Today if you want to find more cash now. So check that out. Hey, how amazing would it be if you could create monthly cash flow, passive income, from making at least double-digit returns on your money? And get this, it's only $1,000 or more that you need to invest. Guys, that's exactly what Secured Investment Corp does. They actually do short-term lending to real estate investors that's backed by real estate that you can actually reach double-digit returns on. That means 10% or better. It's also IRA friendly, and you can even reinvest those monthly distributions to create compound interest on your money too. So guys, if you want to learn more about that, go check out Secured Investment Corp. .com. That's Secured, S-E-C-U-R-E-D, investmentcorp.com. All right, guys. So I got two special guests for you today. We got trio right now. So we got two guests here. We've got Jamie Bateman and we got Chris Savini, right? Right. And so we've got these two guys, both in the real estate market, both got their ears to the ground. Because I know many of you guys are thinking, okay, wait, Chris, like, I know you talk about real estate a lot, but are we in a bubble? Are we not? You know, like, where's the opportunity? Should I just hold on to my cash? You know, are we going into deflation or inflation? You know, all that kind of stuff is coming up, right? And these guys have kind of in several different sectors within that market, anywhere from note investing to commercial real estate to even doing residential properties and doing the Burr method and everything else. I know many of you guys are doing the Burr method right now. So we've got Jamie here. He's been doing this since 2010. You know, they've been managing their own portfolio and stuff. And we've got Chris, that's been doing it for 20 years as well and developed over $750 million in real estate. And so, guys, welcome to our show.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. Glad to be a part.
Yeah. Well, give me a little bit of background on your story. Like, so, Jamie, let's start with you. Sure. Like, just tell us about what got you down this path.
Yeah. So, I mean, like you said, 2010, I kind of took the bull by the horns a little bit and became a little more active as far as a real estate investor. Bought our first rental property. I had previously worked at a title company and mortgage business, so had some background there. But working a full-time job and just kind of really wanted, made the mental shift to look to my strengths and my network and take ownership of my personal situation. So a few years later, my wife and I really ratcheted it up as far as the residential property investing and the Burr method, like you alluded to. Mm-hmm. And in the last few years, I pivoted more over to mortgage notes. So have hit a several different strategies within, you know, real estate investing, if you will. But one of the major themes, I think, is just taking ownership. And, you know, I love that there are so many different types of strategies that you can employ within real estate, whether it's commercial, residential, that kind of thing. And so it really leaves it up to the individual and a business owner. Now I'm kind of treating things more like a business and going from there. So that's a little bit awesome. About my background. Currently, I'm focused more on first lien residential mortgage notes, both performing and non-performing. But as you very well know, it plays into, you know, many other facets of real estate and finance.
Well, let me build on that. Like, why do you feel that notes are the way to go right now? Like, why are you going to put that focus there?
Yeah, I mean, so it's not necessarily that. Well, I do think there's more opportunity coming there, but I personally got into notes because, frankly, you can do it from anywhere. You can do it with, if you have an internet connection and a phone, you really can be a note investor. And there are, you know, different exit strategies, different ways you can go with it. So I found it fairly easy to scale. I haven't scaled to the level that Chris has, but But I really like the that aspect of note investing. It's you can do it from anywhere and you can scale. And then having the real estate knowledge really helps, so they can kind of work together. We did a Jacksonville deal I have that on my website as a case study where people could go and check it out and just to see, you know, how the two avenues can work together. We had a non-performing note in Jacksonville, Florida. We ended up taking the property back, and now it's a very well-performing rental property for me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, kind of just playing to my strengths and but also looking to the opportunity from the market conditions as well. I do think we're going to see more opportunity here in the future. So,
yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Man, we actually just did a show recently about Jim Rickard's book, The Next Great Depression, you know, and he talks about how there's going to be deflation first before we start to see inflation, right? And one thing he did mention in that book said that banks or those that are note holders, right, they actually win in the short term. I mean, it could be bad where people might start defaulting, but in the beginning, because, you know, the dollar is becoming worth more, your note payment is the same. It's locked, right? So you actually kind of get higher and higher payment for you. There's more value.
Yeah. And that's one reason I like to kind of play both sides of it a little bit as a rental owner and a investor in debt, because if inflation happens, obviously debt is worth a little bit less
right.
in and of itself. But when we're buying these notes, they're bought at a discount. So we're kind of protected in that regard as well.
Yeah, that's true. If you have the rental income coming in, if there's inflation, right, then obviously you end up writing the prices up too. So
exactly.
Now, awesome. Cool. Chris, you've had 20 years of experience doing stuff. You've been across the board as well. You know, what is it? Where is it you're seeing the opportunity right now in your place? And kind of give us a little bit of more of your background too.
Yep. So my background comes from, again, the commercial real estate side of starting out working for a large general contractor on commercial projects, then for a developer. And, you know, as many people probably listening, you know, you make a boatload of money for other people, but not yourself. You know, you do that 40-40 club of you work 40 hours a week, which is probably more like 50. 40 years and realize I really got nothing, you know? So that's when I was working for a developer almost a decade ago, started building my own portfolio. And actually the way we started was by developing a property for our single family, our own house. It was almost a Burr method because, you know, we bought a property, we knocked it down, we built the house, we refinanced it, and we had probably about 40% equity in the property.
Wow.
And this was right around 2013, mm-hmm. where, you know, every contractor was looking for work. The housing prices was still down. And then at 13, 14, you know, you saw that steep curve, and I'm in the Washington, D.C. area, which probably didn't get hit as hard as other markets. So, and then kind of took a line of credit and did several of that Burr properties. And similar to Jamie, I've been in a lot of different aspects, but it was kind of shift towards notes because of, you know, time commitments and so forth. You know, that's kind of my quick backstory on that. And what I'm seeing now is very interesting in the markets because we've got a lot of things going on where there's low inventory on the housing price, low inventory on housing. We got high, you know, I think lumber just hit $1,000 a board foot on the residential side.
Yeah.
Commercial right now, you're seeing a lot of large landlords renegotiating leases. You know, the big players are still doing very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they have the attorneys and everyone to get them the PPM money and all this other mm-hmm. stuff. I think the people who are struggling the most, unfortunately, it's just like every situation. It's that middle income, that upper middle class who they may own a small shopping center. They may own, you know, a small apartment building. They may own some single families that mm-hmm. they don't have the financial backing essentially to hire all the attorneys to figure out what's going on and get the money. And kind of leads into probably the next question of opportunity. I think that's where you're going to see a lot of that opportunity is in the marketplace for that middle tier of, you know, smaller investor who's, mm-hmm. you know, probably the ones taking the brunt of this.
Yeah, I've been seeing that trend the last few years where it seemed like everybody and their dog, especially if they were a business owner or a doctor, just thought, you know what, I'm going to take on a commercial property. I'm going to take on an apartment building or something like that, right? And they don't know how to manage it. They kind of mismanage, which there's always opportunity when there's mismanagement, right? And kind of like Warren Buffett says, when the tide rolls out, that's when you find out who's swimming naked, right?
Exactly. And you know, I tell people, like, you know, you go, like, if your car breaks down, do you go fix it? And they're like, no, you're nuts. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm like, a commercial property or real estate's the same exact thing. I mean, people think, oh, I watch an HGTV, you know, and all these shows that make it look so simple and easy and so forth, where, I mean, again, that's not reality TV, as you know, and many people know.
Oh, yeah. you get the highlight reel. You definitely don't get all the lowlights, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So tell me, like, I know one of the things that intrigued my interest was why you feel that, you know, even like investing in commercial property right now, which a lot of people are kind of like saying, hey, commercial, that sounds dangerous, right? You're saying commercial property is even better than even trying to flip properties currently. And that's even with rising costs and everything else. So people are counting on those appreciation, the rising costs of lumber, because that drives prices up and low interest rates and everything else. So why do you see more opportunity with the commercial side than with flipping?
So I think a few things. One is you're going to see a lot more distress. So I think so there's going to be opportunity. And again, anything in real estate is not, I'll say, you know, extreme short term. You know, it's not the get rich quick scheme. You know, you can build some cash flow from that. I think you're going to see a lot more distress because in commercial, unlike residential, you know, you need a place to live on the single family side. So people in distress can bankruptcy, this and that. You know, on the commercial side, it's a lot more complex. So from those two aspects, there's less players involved and going to be more distress. So probably going to be more opportunity in that market. Now people are, you know, mentioning, well, nobody, everyone's working from home now. Everyone's this. There's a lot of shifts, you know, back in 2001 after 9/11, nobody wanted to work in a high rise, you know, so everything stopped from working. And now go back to New York or you go back to, you know, everyone wants to be back in a high rise now because they want to say they're in a high rise. So I personally think, and just my opinion, I think, yes, there's that shift to work from home. But I think in the upcoming years, you're going to go back to see, again, a shift more towards some office space because there's a lot of studies out there, too, that show you can't develop people working from home. You know, it is develop employees. You have to be there. You have to mentor them. You can't do it via Zoom. So I think it's kind of, again, we are such a knee-jerk reaction country. I think there's going to be some portion of that knee-jerk where is there going to be less people occupying office than previous? Of course there is.
Yeah.
But is it going to be extremely drastic? Probably not. You know,
people swung too far and then it comes back, right?
Yep, exactly.
I think one of the things about the upcoming opportunity and potential, you know, changing economic conditions that's different from 2008, 2010, I think is that it's going to be more nuanced. It's going to be more, you know, commercial is a very broad category, right? So I think within that, I mean, we had Eric Smith on our podcast recently. He does commercial real estate out in California. He's a broker and he's done very well in the last year or two with industrial e-commerce, that type of thing. Whereas obviously office is hurting right now, but I just think that it's going to be very nuanced. It's not going to be broad brush, you know, across the board opportunity. It's going to be nuanced within the asset class as well as geographically. With that, what it's one thing that I like about just real estate as opposed to the stock market is that you do typically, if you're paying attention, there are indicators where you can find that opportunity. If you have your systems in place as an investor, as a business owner, you can react. There's time to react typically and, you know, move appropriately.
Yeah. There's always opportunities somewhere, someplace, sometime, right?
And exactly.
You can be very fluid with it versus, and you can have control, right?
Exactly.
It goes back to location, location, location. You know, I wouldn't want to be recommending somebody go out and buy malls right now, trying to get a mall up and running again. That's going to be extremely challenging. But, you know, I see people now taking some mall sites in certain locations and working them into data centers and some other, you know, really different things that 20 years ago, really data centers really were just starting to get in existence. Now, you know, that's one of the next hottest things. And there's probably something else out there we don't even know yet. I mean, you know, with electric vehicles and stuff coming up like that, what's that next kind of thing that people are going to need from an infrastructure perspective that kind of we're just getting started with that we may not even know about?
That's true. Very true. So I'm going to ask both of you guys here, and maybe Jamie, we'll start with you. So with most of this audience, right, we got some active investors in here too, but we got a lot of people that rather just be passive, like they're full-time employees making a few hundred thousand a year, or they're doctors, you know, and dentists and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, what would you recommend for them right now? Like, where do you see the opportunity for those that say, hey, I don't know if I want to go that deep into it. You know, what do they do?
So Chris and I have a note fund, shameless plug.
I was going to say, you're going to give our shameless plug, Jamie?
Yeah, I may as well just get right to
go
it.
Go for it.
You know, we do have a note fund that we're just opening up. I think a fund, whether it's with notes or any other asset class, is a great way to go. You certainly need to investigate the operator But this, a fund model spreads your risk out. You're not investing in one particular deal necessarily. So you may be limiting your upside a little bit, but for somebody who has, you know, income, but not a lot of time, I think a fund is a great way to go. And again, you can, that doesn't mean it's our fund. It doesn't mean that it's a note fund. There's all kinds of different funds. So I think that's probably the most passive way that somebody like that could invest. That's what I'd recommend.
Yeah. Chris, what would you add?
I would add, again, diversity, of course. Certain things I'm looking at, again, from my own personal portfolio of diversification is things like logistic distribution. You know, certain companies that are logistics on the coast at certain ports. You know, you look at research on infrastructure because that is going to be big in the future just from that type of perspective. So that's one avenue. And again, some of these advanced technologies of, you know, besides real estate, just things that have come up like 5G technology and the impacts of that and some of the things that might impact real estate. You're seeing a lot, you know, proportion of real estate is, you know, solar. You know, a lot of jurisdictions now going carbon zero and requiring solar. So it's, you know, from a real estate perspective, again, I'm a real estate guy, you know, and that's what I love to do because I don't know enough about stocks and all that stuff. I let my wife handle that stuff. That's what she's good at. So somewhat trying to look at some opportunities that involve real estate that tie into some of the things coming forward. So I know it's very broad, but it's just, you got to think when everyone zigs, like you mentioned, you can also have to zag a little bit and kind of, okay, be a little forward thinking, but not taking a huge risk. But what are the things that kind of might be at the forefront coming out in the future?
Yeah. Being like kind of leading edge and seeing what's really forecasting to see what's going to be best opportunity for you right now. Absolutely. Yep. Well, guys, I appreciate it, man. Like, good stuff. And obviously, as a disclaimer, everybody, just because they're on our show doesn't mean we recommend their fund or anything like that. But obviously, if somebody does want to follow you guys or they want to know more about the note fund or whatever other opportunities you're seeing and or have out there right now, how would they reach out to you? How would they contact you guys?
For me, labradorlending.com, or you can email me at batemanjames@labradorlending.com.
Awesome.
And for me, it's 7einvestments.com. That's the letter 7, the letter E, then the word investments.com. Uh-huh. My email is chris@7einvestments.com. And we also do, Jamie and I have a podcast called the Good Deeds Note Investing Podcast as well that you can check out.
Awesome. Great. Everybody, I invite you to check out the podcast and we'll put the links in the show notes for you guys so you guys can check that out. And hey, you know, if this stuff you're like, hey, I want to know more, reach out to them. You know, feel free to learn more and really become an expert because, like they say, like it's great to have this kind of expertise and this kind of training that's there and that experience. So guys, again, I appreciate you sharing that on our show with all your experience and everything that you're seeing out there right now. It's really reassuring to kind of hear that you're seeing all these different avenues that people can do that really can lead to greater wealth. And that's exactly what people are here to do.
Thanks for having us, Chris.
Thanks for having us, Chris.
Absolutely. Everybody else, hey, it's the same thing as always, right? It's one thing to be a hearer of the word. It's another to be a doer of the word, right? So, you know, learn this stuff, absorb it. But at some point, rubber's got to hit the road, right? You got to take that action. So remember that for prosperity to work, you have to work too. Go and make it a wonderful and prosperous week. And we'll see you later.
Visit us online at moneyripples.com for more resources to help you fix money leaks and get your money working harder for you now.